This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:06 in the morning is Thursday, the 1st of April, a start of another quarter. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C and I'm Wong Xiaoning. In about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Rizal Van Gezel, comedian and co-founder of Crack House Comedy Club, one of the leading comedy clubs in Malaysia, on, of course, the comedy scene in Malaysia, because today is April Fool's Day.
I'm so looking forward to that, speaking to the Lord of the Underground.
Is that what he's called?
That's what he's called.
Okay, interesting stuff. But before that, markets, how did they do?
Oh, it's terrible. I think we'll start with back home in Malaysia. KLCI basically down 2.2%, a true rout across all the sectors. But also in the region as well, negative. Nikkei was down 0.9%, Hang Seng down 0.7%, Shanghai also negative at 0.4%, Singapore down 0.8%. Interestingly, in the US, a bit of a mixed picture, I think, with the Biden announcement of the infrastructure plan coming in the late tones, late day, you don't see the numbers reflected in the market. So down at Dow and S&P were down 0.3%, but NASDAQ was up 0.4%.
Yeah, helped a little bit by the technology stocks, in particular Apple and even Microsoft, that received some good news that they're going to be doing some fancy goggles for the American military. I think an order size of about $20 billion over the next 10 years.
Interesting.
So that did help the NASDAQ. But for more in terms of where global markets are heading, we have Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Tony. Now, is it likely that the US indices will run out of steam for the moment? I mean, pausing to take stock of the earnings, are equity markets gravitating towards stay-at-home stocks or cyclicals?
The problem with where we are now is that all value is stretched. Monetary policy and stimulus have really pushed money into equity markets. As the remaining stimulus checks are distributed, meaning a lot of those stimulus checks are in the mail right now, in the post, going to homes in the US. So there's a lot of investment expected and pushing against maybe the downdrafts in equity markets. So I don't think it's really a question of stay at home versus cyclicals. It's really a question of where is that value. I don't think it's a sector question. It's really an individual stock picking question. And that's the problem. It's not a sector market. It's not a market wide phenomenon. We really have to understand where there's value, because we're in the very tail end of a bull market.
Previously, it was the longer end. Now, five-year treasuries are inching up. What impact will an upward shift of the whole yield curve have on equities?
I think we're seeing equities try to climb higher, but we're not quite getting there. The five-year was up over 5% today on an incremental basis. It was up 5.6%. And the 10-year was up 2.3% today. So, you know, there are a lot of risks out there, ongoing COVID risk. France just closed down again today. There are geopolitical risks with the U.S. and China, and other geopolitical risks, of course, Syria and so on, Iran, business supply chain risks. So, you know, with yields rising and the pressure on equity markets to rise as well, we believe that there's going to come a point where equity markets break, and we're going to start to see a decline in equity markets. So yields will rise in the U.S. and equity markets will inevitably decline, and that will likely bring some other global markets with it.
Okay, Tony, let's shift the conversation to currencies, because the U.S. dollar has really made some strident gains against both the Chinese yuan and the Japanese yen. I just want to know, why are these two currencies taking such a beating in particular?
Well, both currencies strengthened quite a bit in Q3 of 2020 and stayed strong until recently. CNY had been below 7 and a bit, well, actually just above 7, and it climbed to almost 6.4 versus the US dollar. So there's been a lot of strength in both, as you say, Chinese and Japanese currencies. What's happened while we've had those appreciated currencies is an accumulation of inventories of commodities like industrial metals. We've seen the copper price rise dramatically, for example. And so as we see treasuries rise in the U.S., and that brings dollar strength, we're seeing those manufacturers and those guys who've been building their commodity inventories in East Asia really slow down on those purchases and their future commitments. So we'll likely see a lot of those currencies stabilize and weaken a bit more. We don't expect dramatic weakening from here. We don't expect the US dollar to appreciate dramatically more, say, for the next few months. So we're kind of in a range, we believe, for both. We do see the CNY, for example, devaluing to, say, 6.6 to 6.7. And then, you know, we'll kind of stabilize in that range unless there's a dramatic impact.
So a correction as inventory levels readjust. Can I just shift your attention to oil? Because oil prices are at levels near the break-even point for U.S. shale producers. Are you expecting to see a resumption of shale activity this year?
Well, yeah, we, you know, living in Texas, we see a lot of shale activity here. So we do expect it to start slowly, but that business runs in a way where if we're chasing price, more of those shale firms will come online pretty quickly, actually. So, you know, with the ability for shale to turn off and turn on so quickly, we believe that the prices will be range bound if there's upward price pressure. You know, all things held equal, if there's, you know, if there isn't a major geopolitical issue in the Middle East or isn't a major geopolitical issue in Asia or something, we think that we'll be fairly range bound as those guys come back online, the shale producers.
Meanwhile, Tony, U.S. job numbers, are out on Friday. They're expected to show a robust recovery in labor markets. In your opinion, like, what sectors grew the fastest in terms of employment?
Well, you know, we're starting to see quite a lot more capacity in airlines, although we don't expect a lot of hiring there. The services around, say, travel and hospitality, they were devastated in 2020, and we expect some of those jobs to come back online. We expect to see some restaurant jobs, some of those services jobs to come back online. That's where we typically see these things come back first. Relatively kind of lower wage, but more flexible workforces. And so we'll see activity there first. Tourism in the U.S. obviously still isn't up to what it was, but we have started to see some impact back in tourism. So I would expect to see some interesting numbers there.
Okay, thank you for your time. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, sadly reminding us that this is maybe the tail end of the bull run that we had been enjoying. It was a very short one. It started, honestly, in March 2020 when markets collapsed. And then because of the concerted, synchronized monetary policies that we saw around the world, central banks really pushing rates to ultra low, equity markets rallied till now. So he thinks we're in the tail end and we should start beginning to look at value stocks as opposed to growth stocks.
And I think specific stocks, in fact, actually.
Yeah.
He's kind of very... Go for the jugular on specific things.
Yeah, I think you really then need to take a very bottom-up approach as opposed from a top-down approach if you're talking about the tail end of a bull cycle. What is also worrying is that he does say that with increasing yields in the US and even on the shorter dated bonds, which is the 5-year bonds, likely equity markets are also going to face another round of correction. And it's not just going to be the US, it's going to be other global markets as a result. Because let's face it, we take the cue from the US, right?
Yeah.
If there is a shock there, there's a shock around the world. But what does it mean for Malaysian markets? Because yesterday we had a really terrible day. And when I look at Bloomberg now and I'm trying to understand what caused the decline, it was really very much glove driven. Top Glove, Hartalega, Supermax, all coming under selling pressure. As a result, took the index along with it. Same, it was also the case for the telco sector. Axiata was also down. Maxis was also down. There was actually no stock among the FBM, KLCI, the 100. 30 component stocks, none were in the green. So clearly bad day, we were down 2.22%. And on a regional, on a year-to-date basis, we are actually down more than 3%.
It's incredible. I think also the conversation about currencies is going to play as we were talking to Tony about Japan and China yuan, and we saw discuss earlier Thai and Turkish. I wonder how emerging market currencies are going to all kind of fall out in this short term. And
is there going
piece.
To be a question of a shift from emerging markets into developed markets?
That's right.
The big question. But in about a few minutes, in light of April Fool's Day, we'll be speaking to Rizal Van Gezel, a comedian and the co-founder of Crack House Comedy Club. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.